Extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, David Goss, Matt Doyle. It is President's Day, wherever you are listening to this. It is not President's Day where we are recording this. Back in the past, on February 16th, Friday, we do not want to work on the holiday. Therefore, we're here with you to get you ready for the opener of the 2024 MLS season coming up.
Wait a minute. Just for the record, I will be writing my tears piece all day on Monday. So one of us will be working on the holiday.
David Goss and I do not want to work on President's Day Monday.
But Matt Doyle will be grinding on Monday too.
You're working too?
Yeah. I just have other things I work on.
Are you doing another photo shoot? Weeby, are you doing a photo shoot on Monday?
If they want to bring me in,
that's not work.
If they want to bring me in, I'm there. You know, I can't say no. I just can't say no. Coming up in today's show, Inter Miami RSL, the preview, a standalone match on Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, of course, on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. We will preview both teams. We'll preview the game. Then we'll do the trophy draft. If you missed the Golden Boot draft, that went down on the last show. Went out on Thursday, so go check that one out. Let us know what you think of our teams. I still feel pretty confident about taking the dub. Doyle, you have put all your chips in on Dave taking the L.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty confident that Dave had the worst team, like, as we were doing it. But then I showed it to some sicko friends who follow MLS very closely. And first of all, Weeby, they were very complimentary about your team. They said, I think the line was, I'm really sorry to say that I think Weeby's going to win this thing.
Flowers are coming from everywhere here. They're raining down upon me.
And then there was a lot of, what was David Goss doing?
What is the complaints about my team?
That it's bad. That it is clearly the fourth best team out of the four. You might get relegated out of the Golden Boot draft next year. The way Tom was relegated out of the trophy draft. Tom was so bad, he's not going to take part in the trophy draft.
Here's the thing Doyle's not saying. He could have been relegated from the Golden Boot draft because he was last year.
Didn't we tie? I think you and I ended up tied.
No.
There was a day where you were tied, and then it turned out that Anders had done the math wrong, and you were like 10 goals behind Weeby, and we ripped Weeby for a really long time.
I was not last.
It was a good day.
Just for posterity, here's David Goss' Golden Boot team.
Yeah, Lucho, I want to know it too.
Keeper, Diego Rossi, second pick, a little stretch there. Lucho Acosta, good pick. Jordan Morris, could work out well. Christian Espinoza, same. Julian Carranza, half year, full year, we don't know. Facundo Torres, I like that pick, actually, in the seventh slot. Enzo Capetti, there's upside there. Johnny Russell, been there, done that. Love Johnny. Probably wouldn't have made that choice myself.
This is a disaster of
Diego
a team.
Diego Rubio and Munsef Bakrar.
This is a disaster of a team. That, like, Rubio and Bakrar, maybe not starters. Like, Facu and Julian Carranza, probably going to be sold mid-season. Who else was it? Jordan Morris?
I love the absolutes Doyle's operating in all things that have been said for 3 years and have never occurred. Like, Facundo Torres is obviously going to Arsenal this year. There's not a planet in which Facundo Torres plays every game for Orlando. Julian Carranza, there's no way he stays. He's going to leave like Kai Wagner left and never come back to Philadelphia.
If he gets traded, I think you still get those goals.
Yeah, oh my God. If he ends up on LAFC, you're welcome.
You get those
like
goals.
Enzo Capetti, there's not a playmaker on Charlotte, and he had like 4 goals last year. Come on.
I'm doing fantasy basketball here, which is every team will win X games. Yeah. Every team will
you
lose.
You drafted
X games.
Like you've been playing, like paying attention only to basketball. My God, man.
Just saying. Someone on Charlotte has to score.
Best jerseys, we'll talk about those as well. Remember, if you're listening, we may not have the complete update on Inter Miami moves. Gregory is rumored to be headed to Botafogo. We'll cover that in just a little bit, but keep that in mind. If you hear us talking about something that news, MLS Reddit, Twitter, MLSsoccer.com, Tom Bogert has proven false, well, that's our cover. We're not recording it on Monday. So as you listen, there are 2 days until kickoff of the 2024 season. The marathon is about to begin. First, a correction before we get excited. Knew who scored. He has scored an MLS goal.
I owe that man an apology.
This is shameful.
Yeah.
September 4th, Dynamo, Seattle
Doyle
Sounders.
Shouldn't have to trade Messi for Nuhu into his Golden Boot team as an apology.
David, if I did that, I would still beat you this year.
Oh, my
year.
God. I'm going to crush you. And then I'm going to bring all of your blog boys. I'm gonna rent out a theater. And I'm going to bring all your blog boys in. All of your little nerd computer guys.
Talk about that in Discord.
And I'm going to run just a reel of every one of my players scoring goals. And I'm going to stare at every one of them while it happens.
All right, Nuhu, we're sorry. 2022, you did the business. All right, how are you feeling,
did
guys?
Nuhu
the marathon is.
Huh? No, he didn't. A buddy of mine on Twitter pointed it out. So shout out to that guy. Shout out to Nuhu, who is a legendary goal scorer in MLS. One goal in 168 MLS regular season games. Will he make it to this year? I don't think so, but having a take on that is not quite as spicy as would he score his first, which, of course, 2 years ago it happened.
We now know that Sam Stachel does not listen to this show or hasn't yet because we haven't heard from him about our Nuhu slander, but we will wait and see on that front. How you guys feeling? It's a marathon, the MLS season. It's about to begin. We're going to kick it off. Many, many competitions, hundreds of games, all until early December in MLS Cup. Where's your mind at, Dave?
I mean, it's the most exciting part of the year. It's the part where all of Doyle's spreadsheets turn to real human beings and we get to watch people play soccer. I think all of us, we analyze every move, and it's so hard because you've got players coming from inside the league, new coaches, players coming from outside the league, and like trying to figure out how it all fits together and how it all works. And week one's the most exciting part, to just see it like finally on the field and you start to get an idea of what it's going to be like. And I just look back at last year of, a year ago, this show, none of us knew St. Louis or Houston were going to end up where they did. Houston with an Open Cup championship, Western Conference final, St. Louis as an expansion team, the top team in the West. So I don't know who those teams are going to be. And that part is the most exciting to me of like week one, you start to get an inkling and you're like, oh, this looks a lot better than I expected, or this looks as cohesive as you could have hoped for. And then you start building from there.
I think about universal hope. Other people might call it parity. I'm going with hope on the positive side. The beauty of MLS, following MLS, trying to analyze MLS and watching MLS on a regular basis is you really just don't know what's coming, to your point, Dave. Every single team, all 29, maybe it's the fallacy of preview season and preseason and the transfer market and where we're at right now. Every team, all 29, I can find a reason, and we have been finding that reason in these previews, to believe that something beautiful can happen for them.
I am
and that's the best way.
Yeah, and to that point, I am irrationally bullish on DC and Montreal. Like I do, like Montreal, I think you could make the argument with Courtois. He's going to do, you know, his version of Wilfred Nancy's system that worked so well 2 years ago. They added a new 10. They added a new 9. We all love Kwadwo Opoku and Matthew Chouinier, and they have Saliba and Zouir, and they – I'm not going to say upgraded their wing backs, but they changed their wing backs, and like that could end up working. So like, I even though on paper, I think this team has less talent than most of the teams are, like, I just can't wait to watch Montreal. And I feel the same way about DC United. Like, just on paper, this team is probably at a talent deficit in most games, but the talent that they do have kind of works together. And that's what I love most, is like watching stuff come together in a way that you can kind of predict, but maybe not to the degree that it happens from time to time for a team like Columbus last year.
You know, it's interesting. I agree with you on Montreal because I'm excited to watch Montreal. DC, I'm excited to see how it goes. I'm not excited to watch them play soccer. Like, they don't stand out to me as a team that makes my heart sing. We did Montreal. We already did the preview, and we've talked about them a bunch. No one has mentioned Bryce Duke.
I think he's a backup.
But, like, this was a guy that it looked like he was going to break through. He's clearly a backup right now, but there's a lot that's been on his shoulders over the last year and a half, and, like, this could be one of those years. He stands out to me. I think someone asked us some question about overperforming or something like that last week, and he
and that was
out
like
a guy.
I mean, you talk about overperforming. It's like most of the guys you took in the Golden Boot draft.
No, they've all underperformed, which is why I can't lose.
The bounce is coming, Doyle. The bounce is coming. Yeah, look, I'm irrationally excited for Dallas and San Jose, and there were times last year when I was like, please God, I cannot watch another ponderous, like, Dallas match where they're just not going for it. I can't watch San Jose in these high leverage moments in the playoffs because they just don't have the pieces outside Espinoza, but I'm fully convinced. And look, that's what the season is about. Whether you're a fan of the team, you're a fan of the league in general, just not knowing what's coming, but knowing everyone has a reason to believe and it's not completely irrational, it's a reason to watch every single game. Of course, they're on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. Get started on Wednesday night. Miami RSL kicks us off. A 90-minute pregame. A full match of pregame coverage starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Kalen Kyle, Bradley Art Phillips, Sasha Kleshchen, and myself on the desk on MLS Season Pass. So we'll take you through all the storylines from that match and throughout the upcoming season. Halftime, postgame there. Match day one on Saturday and Sunday, of course. February 24th. It starts early in the day, 2 p.m. Eastern. Columbus, Atlanta. What a game that one is. LAFC, Seattle as well. There's pregame coverage as well for these matches. And then we'll do an hour pregame at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. MLS Countdown every single Saturday night. It will go down at that time. La Previa in Spanish. And then 12:30 p.m. Eastern every single Saturday night. MLS Wrap-Up, La Resumen, a full hour. Last year, 30 minutes, there were times where I was on that show and I was thinking, God, I have so much more to say. There are so many more deeper stories we could dig into. Well, we have another half hour to do it every single week. So that should be really, really nice. Another note here, it's hard to jam it all in, but CCC is going down this week. Tuesday, St. Louis, Houston, Philadelphia going to Saprissa, and then New England facing Kai, and then Miami RSL is going to be on the MLS side, plus Orlando against Cavalry. Orlando looking at Tigres on the other side, and Cincinnati play on Thursday. They're looking at Monterrey if they can get through Cavalier. Meanwhile, Nashville trying to knock off Mocha FC. All right, let's get into Miami. That's what the people love, right? Everybody wants to hear about Miami. We talked a little bit about the possible roster moves happening because of roster compliance day for Inter Miami. Opposing GM saying anonymously to Tom Bogert that they are, quote, screwed. This is not a outlier position, let's say. Inter Miami have a bigger profile, but not being roster compliant this time of year is, I don't know if fairly normal is the right way to put this, Doyle, but a lot of teams are going through the hoops to figure out how they're going to get in under the cap rules. And Todd Durbin talked about this the other day. He's in charge of a lot of the player department at MLS, and he works with teams. His employees work with teams to get under the cap and figure out how they're going to do it. But Inter Miami has got a timeline here. They got to get there.
Yeah, and they have a bigger spotlight because they have the greatest player of all time and a bunch of his friends, and they have one of the best coaches in MLS history, and they're a major market. And they also went on a tour of the world in preseason and very publicly got thumped a couple of times in Saudi Arabia and had injury issues. So, like, all the focus has been on Miami. One of those moves that they need in order to get roster compliant has been made, and that's Gregory to Botafogo. I know you said at the top of the show that it's not quite done yet. I'm pretty sure it is. I don't know how many other moves they have to make, but we were talking about it in the pre-show, and just looking at the names that have been mentioned, right? It's Gregory, Jean Mota, Robert Taylor, DeAndre Yedlin, and Christophe. And of that group, if they have to move both central midfielders and Robert Taylor, I do think they have the pieces to accommodate to make those moves and not completely fall apart. I would be surprised if they moved either DeAndre Yedlin or Sergio Christophe. Like, they need to have Christophe in particular in that back line. That said, I do, like, even if they move him, I feel like people have over-indexed the bad results in Saudi Arabia. Like, yeah, Miami haven't looked great in preseason. Nobody looks great in preseason. And we've been watching the three of us here have been watching this league closely for a long, long time. And, like, there is a real danger in reading too much into preseason results, to the good or to the bad. And what actually matters is your team talented? I think we can all agree that Miami are talented. And do you have a system of play? And I think we can all agree that Miami have a system of play. And I just don't I think the panic level that people have hit around this team is a little bit absurd.
So I think you're right. And I think you're right about the way you're perceiving preseason. What I worry about is coming out of Leagues Cup and Open Cup into regular season last year, which showed the limitations of an MLS roster because of the way you can build it and the cap and all of the things to compete across every competition and be a super team. Now, that team wasn't perfectly built because Messi didn't come in till the summer. You hadn't been able to do everything. But when you talk about Kristoff, you've already lost Kamal Miller. And so you're looking at a team now that could have no MLS experienced center backs throughout the whole season. And then you're looking at a club that's going to try and compete on four or five different fronts. And so that is the thing that stands out to me in terms of worry more than this preseason, which is coming into the Messi era. And we did five shows last year before we ever saw him play, of like, so excited of like, this team could win everything. And then you watched it sort of happen. It's like, well, they probably can't. So where are you going to put your resources? And a lack of depth and losing some of these pieces at this point in the season, which you obviously can't replace, starts to then worry me about how much they're capable of competing.
Big question marks, especially on the wing. Facundo Farias is one of the guys they just couldn't really afford to lose. Talent level, flexibility, ability to stretch the field. Against Newell's Old Boys, they had Pedro Gomez in that spot. He was all right. He had his moments, missed Diego? The chances he got.
Diego Gomez.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is there another
Pedro Gomez? I heard Doyle's, and I thought he was going to do it.
I said it. When I said it, my brain was immediately flashing signals that said, that's wrong, and I was waiting for the correction.
I think he was a baseball broadcaster.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Whew, preseason. Wipe out the cobwebs, folks. Diego Gomez, I thought, was good in stretching the field and came inside to combine well. You're asking him to be a top-level finisher. You're asking him to be a guy who really can't get hurt because of his flexibility as well. So there's a lot of things to look at here. Where will Gressel play? If Yedlin's gone, it's really just Julian Gressel and then maybe Yannick Bright, who played at the six last night and is still not signed from the super draft. There are a lot of moving parts. In the end, those parts will all get nailed down and they'll get this figured out. Robert Taylor, he's one of the ones I look at and I'm like, man, if they move him, there are going to be some suitors.
He's the one who I think is gone. I would be surprised if Robert Taylor is not traded elsewhere in MLS. And you were about to give us a list, Weeby.
You can give it to me, but I just say that's rugged for Robert Taylor. Last year, he's like, I have generational chemistry with Lionel Messi. And this year, they're like, hey, doors this way, bro. Keep it moving.
I mean, you got to assume with the injury to Nelson Quiñones, if it's understood that Robert Taylor is available via trade, you have to assume Pat Onstad is the first person making a call to Miami because he would just fit so perfectly on that left wing for that Houston team. We've made zero upgrades to their roster this offseason.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense in the marriage of a team that's in a late emergency because they lost Quiñones unexpectedly and a team that's in a late emergency that needs to get rid of Robert Taylor. Austin popped up in my head. They've brought in Hodder O'Brien. They have Ethan Finlay, who can play as sort of a more traditional winger, but Robert Taylor's good at soccer. The other thing is Robert Taylor's on a pretty good contract, which shows you, one, how tight a spot Miami is, because this is like a winning contract in MLS if you get that production out of that deal. Same with Sergi Kristoff. And so every team, I think, is going to come out of the woodwork. Does the Chicago Fire put in a call? To the Seattle Sounders put in a call if they don't believe in Leo Chu as backup to Pedro de la Vega? To San Jose put in a call just trying to get more talent in across their front three and maybe move someone else around?
He feels like a St. Louis fit with his style of play and his fitness, and they're sort of, you know, the wingers are not elite, let's just say.
Portland's another team, especially with the injury to Loria. They don't really have depth on the wings at this point. And it's not just depth. I think that if Portland got Robert Taylor, he would probably be a starter at left wing.
He played for Phil Neville.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, point. Played. I feel like he didn't really play that much. Phil Neville, so maybe he'd say no, but
We'll see. Let's dive into the actual preview. As it stands, they'll get under they'll be roster compliant, folks. Don't worry about that side of it. The question is who's going to be on the roster.
Yeah, just the like sort of what we just explained. Any team in MLS would take any of these players and can for nothing, which is sort of what you saw with like the Chris McVie trade. So DC picked up Chris McVie for the same that or less than what they picked up Derek Williams for a year ago. Derek Williams was not a starter in MLS. McVie probably is. So like when it comes down to it, if that's the situation, you just offload these guys to someone and anyone in MLS will be happy.
At least you clear out. Yeah. At least you clear out the cap number.
Yeah.
As opposed, well, I think they want to clear the cap number and get allocation cash on top of it. And they have
time. No, they get 19 super draft picks they can build for the future. It's a two timeline team.
Hey man, Yannick Bright looked good for this team last night. And I think he gives them depth both at D mid and at right back. I would be shocked if they didn't sign him.
By the way, Lionel Messi looked pretty good last night as well. Maybe not always as clean as he would want to be in front of goal, but creating chances, finding pockets, beating 3, 4, 5 defenders on the dribble. He had his moment. Suarez, maybe not so much, but it's going to come around. We'll see how it looks against RSL on Wednesday night. Let's dive into the previews here. Remember this game, 8 p.m. Eastern on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, 90-minute pregame show. Inter Miami, 34 points in 2023. That was a 14-point drop. They were 14th in the East. No playoffs, but of course they won Leagues Cup and got to a U.S. Open Cup final. The Leagues Cup run was magical, and the six games after in the league were pretty good as well, 4-1-1. But then 3 draws, 2 losses down the stretch. The hole was just too big. They had 2 losing streaks of 6 and 7 games, I believe, before Tata and the Stars arrived. So that kind of sunk their season. Here's the haiku. When you go all in, people expect history. Make it, Miami. That's what this year is about. This level of investment, these level of players, having the GOAT, average, above average, not really acceptable, to be honest. Exceptional is what this team is going for. Historic is what this team is going for. Key transfers in, Suarez, Gressel. Help me out here, Doyle. Nicholas?
Freire.
God, yeah.
Maria's been working with me on the pronunciation.
I know, it's there for me, but as soon as I think about saying it, it goes away.
It's funny because like you are so much better than me at Spanish pronunciation most of the time.
This is a struggle bus for me. And then possibly Federico Redondo.
Yeah,
he is a rumored signing. He would be about $8 million from Argentinos Juniors.
I'm going to give us a little digression here. Federico Redondo's dad, Fernando Redondo, is the single best defensive midfielder I've ever seen play soccer. He was a star for Real Madrid in the mid-late 90s, and he was exiled from the Argentinian national team because the coach at the time, I think was Passarella, Redondo refused to cut his hair. And so he was exiled from the Argentinian national team. It was absurd. The guy was amazing. I didn't realize the kid, Federico, was so good. And I watched him play maybe 6-8 months ago. And I texted a buddy of mine in Spain. And I was like, this kid is amazing. Like, an MLS team should sign him. And he laughed at me. He was like, dude, Real Madrid is all over this kid. There's no chance any MLS team is ever going to get in the discussion with Federico Redondo. And 6-8 months later, here we are with Miami, maybe not about to sign him, at least in the discussion with him, which gives you an idea of the doors that have opened to the level of talent that is now available, not just to Miami, but to a lot of MLS teams because of the spotlight that has been put on this team by the arrival of Lionel Messi and Sergio Busquets and Jordi Alba and Luis Suarez. It is just a different, like it's a much higher stakes table that we've ever seen teams sit at before. And I really hope they pushed it signing across the line, because if the kid is 70% as good as his dad was, he's going to be a joy to watch every single week.
If they get it over the line, and if they would do so, it would be replacing Facundo Farias on the roster. It would be a season-ending injury designation for Farias, and they would go into the U22 spot for Redondo, is my understanding. That would give them, with 4 U22 spots, one of those players on injured reserve in Farias, $25 million in investment. Gomez was about 3. Aviles is about 9. Let's say Farias is 5.5, 6, and then 8. That is a different MLS than the one we've talked about and covered for many, many years. On the outside, Joseph Martinez, Nicholas Stefanelli, Kamal Miller, Christopher McVay, Gregory, reportedly, though Doyle is squashing that report, he says, yes, that's going to happen. Maybe Jean Mota, maybe Robert Taylor, maybe others. We're recording on Friday. We shall see. Take us behind the tactics and the coaching that Tata Martino is going to do this year, Doyle.
It's going to be possession heavy, obviously. If you have Messi and Busquets and the rest of the Barcelona gang, you want to have the ball as much as possible. They've always been better with the ball than without. We've seen both a 3-5-2 and a 4-3-3 in preseason. I'm leaning more towards the 3-5-2. I think that's the one I expect to see, even though they are light on center backs. You know, they will probably lead the league in short passes. They will probably be among the league leaders in the underlying metrics around chance creation. The question that I have with this team, especially with Robert Taylor gone, is will they be able to stretch the field? Because what worked for them best last year was having Messi and runners. And Luis Suarez at this point is not a runner. He was in his prime, right? Even though he was obviously one of the most multifaceted center forwards ever, he was also a runner. He's not that guy anymore. So that puts pressure on, maybe it'll be a Gomez or a Redondo bursting out of midfield. Or last year it was DeAndre Yedlin on the overlap a ton. They had some success with that last night against Newell's Old Boys. Julian Gressel, wherever he happens to be lined up. But they are going to need to be able to stretch the field. And the inability to do that consistently and keep their shape and rest defense, that is my biggest concern for Miami heading into the season.
That was an issue last night. One or two chances where the center backs got out into space and there was an opportunity to play between them, an opportunity to run, and they looked a little bit exposed. That's a weakness for Miami. Star Spotlight, Dave, it's Lionel Messi. What is 2024 for the GOAT?
What am I supposed to say? Like, what are we doing? We talk about all of these things.
Say something smart.
I don't have anything. You're talking about something different. And you're talking about something different, not for MLS, but just for the world. And when he steps on the field, Argentina wins a World Cup. When he's not there, like, they're okay. That's how big of a difference he is. His gravity's immense. I think you see it in the way he plays. Obviously makes the game easier for everyone. And I also think the experience makes the game more enjoyable for people. And we've now seen it, like you talk about that new MLS for this team in the U22s. They want to play with Messi. They want the experience of being around him, the experience of like the way you receive the ball off his foot, the way you can stand and watch him bounce between defenders and then go find your space. That's what Robert Taylor figured out pretty quickly last year. And I think we're going to see a lot of these guys figure it out over the course of this year. And it's not that hard. Like, it's not hard to figure out because it's as easy as the game can get. It all just comes down to injury and minutes. He's obviously still committed to playing with Argentina. They have a Copa America this summer. He just traveled around the world in preseason. They've got CONCACAF competition to travel for. They're going to have Leagues Cup as well on top of MLS play. You got the heat of Miami at his age. Like, it is wearing on him. So it's going to be about managing him and playing him in the highest profile is the wrong term, but like the highest impact minutes of like opportunities to win trophies with less minutes and opportunities where you can get him rest, even though he always wants to play. And that's going to be on Tata. But if we see what we saw last year, this team's going to be incredible. He's going to be the best player in the league by a mile. He's going to be worth every penny that everyone has ever spent to bring him in and to go see him, you know, in person. And I'm excited for it.
Doyle, Carlos Vela did amazing things in 2019, did unprecedented things in terms of just overall attacking output. Can Messi this year in his first full season in MLS challenge those numbers / break them? Will he?
That's a great question. It was 34 goals and 15 assists for Carlos Vela in 2019. It's a single season record still for goals, and is a single season record by a mile for total goal contributions. I'm going to take the under. I wouldn't be shocked if Messi actually produced more per game or per 90 than Vela did, but I think he's going to end up playing 26, 27 MLS regular season games, but what with the workload with Argentina, whereas Vela, I think he played 32 or 33 back in 2019. So I will say, I think he goes over 40 total goal contributions, and I think he would only be the second or third guy ever to do that.
So Vela, 31 games, 26 minutes, 2,700 minutes, 34 goals, 15 assists.
I mean, honestly, the 2,700 minutes part of that,
that's the big one.
Freaking absurd.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, Will Messi hit that, but that Carlos Vela produced that in that amount of time.
But remember, there was no Leagues Cup, right? So he didn't have that competition where you put it all of yourself into it like Messi did last year and will probably this year to win another trophy. Plus, you have CONCACAF. So I agree with Doyle in that I think in all comps, he will probably put up a similar number. And I think per 90, he will. But I'd be surprised if he broke that overall MLS single season number when you add in Copa America and all the other stuff he's going to be playing in.
Health is the big thing here. When he was out last year, as they were trying to make that miraculous playoff run, his absence was, I mean, it's a hole that you can't replace. There's no like for like. There's no like for sort of like. There's no universe that you get into where you have a similar impact as Leo Messi. I just want to see him vibe, man. The best moments we saw last year were in Leagues Cup when his family was in the stands. He was blowing kisses. It was a big occasion, and you can just see him sort of hoover up that energy and become the player that we've seen for decades now. So I hope for Messi this year is about those vibes continuing. His life being settled and fun and engaging, his family being happy, his health being as good as it possibly can be. If all those things come together, it'll be the same Messi I think that we saw in Leagues Cup that is insatiable, impossible to stop, that inspires you with the way that he moves a soccer ball and sees, you know, a game that many can make look hard, and he has always made look easy. So I hope for him it's a vibes campaign. It helps to have his boy to vibe with. Luis Suarez, right? You got the whole crew together. The Asado's going. The mate is, you know, percolating. Is Suarez going to be in the Golden Boot race, Dave?
I think so. I think Doyle screamed at us about this on the last show, about how many minutes he ended up playing in Brazil. I think we've seen over the course of time in this league, like, he's of that level where however many minutes it is and whatever the team looks like, he's so good that he will get his goals. And so I think he'll be in the conversation. I don't think he'll win it because, again, talking about age and minutes and multiple competitions and all those other things. But I think he'll be in that conversation. And when you talk about Messi's health and what you need and what you don't, this team is, I think, in the attacking half, so much better than they were last year. Like, you've swapped out a can't do it anymore Joseph Martinez for Luis Suarez over the course of the last year. You've brought in all of these under 22 players and all their talent. You've got, when healthy, Benjamin Kromaski, one more year into his professional career. You've got David Ruiz as well. You've brought in Julian Gressel. Like, think about it for Suarez. So if you have that type of production around you, I think he's going to get his goals. I think he's going to be really good. And it's going to be really fun to watch.
Let me just say, 26 goals and 17 assists in 53 games, about 4,500 total minutes for Luis Suarez.
That's the part that's crazy to me. 4,500 minutes in a season? Brazil is nuts.
I mean, I think if you're Miami, you want to keep that down around 3,000, 3,200 minutes across all competitions.
You'd pray for that amount.
You would be happy with that amount.
Yeah.
And they can do that because they have a DP center forward, Ecuadorian international, Leo Campana, coming off the bench. So I think there's been – look, he did not run much in preseason. It's preseason. And he gave those interviews where he said, yeah, I have to, you know, take injections and to manage my knee pain and the, you know, the bone on bone. And it sounds miserable. And it's like, yeah, he was doing that last year. And he put up 26 goals and 17 assists, 4,500 minutes in a league that is better than MLS. I think he's going to be okay. I really do. And to your point you made, Weeby, about you know, after League's Cup, when things started to go bad for Miami, like, yeah, they were missing Lionel Messi. And when Messi was missing, there went all their chance creation. They had, and we've said this on this show, but I just want to make the point again, because we're officially doing the preview here. Like, they were not able to be goal dangerous when Messi was hurt the back half of last year. They went out and they added Luis Suarez, who's one of the best playmaking number nines who's ever laced up the boots. And they added Julian Gressel, who's been an elite chance creator in MLS for, you know, the past 7 years. I think they addressed their need. Even with the Farias injury, I think they're okay.
Players to watch outside of Messi, Suarez. Dave, give us a little peek at what you're looking at.
It's a laundry list, but just choosing one for my own personal is Julian Gressel. Like, I covered him in college, and now he's going to play with Messi. And Julian Gressel is a really good soccer player. Like, every time we see him put in a new club, new position, whatever it is, it's like his touch, his technique, his vision, his soccer IQ, it's all really high. So it's just going to be cool to see how that fits in with four guys who have won Champions Leagues together and most have won World Cups. And like, they are at the highest IQ. And where does Gressel fit in and how does he connect to that? And obviously he took probably a pay cut to come be a part of this because it's really cool and special and he loves playing for Tata. But I'm excited to sort of just see, okay, what does that all look like as he steps into this?
I'm going to go Jordi Alba. You know, in the Messi and Friends hierarchy, it feels like Jordi Alba gets forgotten a little bit behind Suarez and Busquets. Very curious to see Jordi Alba with fill in the blank plan at left wing, whether it's Gomez or Robinson or other, how he's able to join the attack, be a part of this build-up play and these short passes and show the quality we've always seen at Barcelona. He is an amazing player, and we probably should have mentioned him for fullback of the year. Did we forget his name in there? I think I was assigned that category, so maybe I'm making up for my own mistake now, but I'm watching Jordi Alba. How about you? How about you, Doyle?
The kids. I already went on a soliloquy about Redondo, Diego Gomez. I love David Ruiz, the homegrown kid. I actually rate him a little higher than Kramaski, but Kramaski's really good when he comes back, which will hopefully be by this early April. And like, they need to contribute. They like, it's MLS. You still need guys who are sort of down the roster list to contribute, no matter how good your four or five best players are. You need that. I think these kids are all set up to do it. I can't wait to watch how they blend in with the greatest player of all time and his besties. It's going to be a fun team to watch, man.
Over under 1.5 trophies. So we're assuming on this over and under, they're winning something.
Yes. It's Messi. Messi has won every competition he's played in at least once, except for the Coupe France and U.S. Open Cup, and they made U.S. Open Cup final last year. He missed the final. I'm taking the over. I said last month they have to win the Supporter Shield. Regular season is what Messi has always prioritized. He had, 10 titles with Barcelona and 3 more with Paris Saint-Germain. Over 1.5 for me.
I'm so much on the other side where I don't think Tata will care that much about the shield.
I agree.
I think a home playoff game 1-4.
I'm old enough to remember 2018. He cared about the shield a lot that year.
I know, but he didn't get it. Like, and
he didn't have Messi. He has Messi.
When they lose on the road to a Toronto team that didn't make the playoffs on the last day of that season.
Yeah, but he played Miggy through an injury in that game.
He learned his lesson, trash. Doyle. Yeah, he learned his lesson. What do you got, Dave? Over or under?
Did you say over, though? In yours?
You said over. Maybe?
No. Oh, you don't have to choose.
Oh, I haven't done it yet. Oh. You know how this works.
Okay, I'm going to say over. Right, I'm going to say over 1.5, and I don't think they'll win Supporter Shield, because when I talked about Messi and minutes and Suarez and all of that, if you look at it and you say we're in a quarterfinal of this or a regular season game, which could potentially build us to this, which are those high percentage minutes that you're going to get? And every knockout game that you get 90 minutes from Messi, you are closer to winning a trophy than over the course of a 34-game season. So I think they're going to make the playoffs, obviously. I think they'll be up there. but I think they're going to prioritize all these other competitions as they go along.
As we hedge here, I'm hedging. I'm going under. I'm saying they're winning a trophy, but I'm saying not two. Not two. Just to, you know, to be on the right and or wrong side of history, depending on how all this works out. I'll pay for this later. My sins shall be absolved. This is fine, Doyle. What's the blow up? How does it all go to pot?
Injuries. That's it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And why this could be their year? Well, Lionel Messi, Luis Suarez, immense amounts of young talent. Tata Martino, that's a pretty self-explanatory explanation. All right, Real Salt Lake, here we go. 50 points, three more points than in 2022. Fifth in the West, lost in round one to Houston, though they really pushed it, and Diego Luna was a star in the playoffs. Their haiku, X-Dog till they die. But is the label played out? Quality wins games. RSL have spent the last couple transfer windows trying to bring in quality. Not to shed X-Dog, but to augment X-Dog. Chicho Arango's got that dog in him, but he's also got potentially 20 goals. So, yeah, spending money, trying to improve. Key transfers in. Matt Crooks over from the championship. Fidel Barajas comes from USL. Highly, highly rated 17-year-old attacking player. And then Alexandros Katranis from Greece. He will play left back. He's the presumed starter at left back right now. Sort of a vertical up and down player. They think he'll get forward into the attack. Out. Danny Masovski, Demir Krylock, Jefferson Savarino, the DP gone. Rubio Rubin and Jasper Lofelsund all gone. Pablo Mastroianni, coach, tactics, spotlight, big changes for him, Doyle. His staff all gone. Three new assistant coaches. All of them have been head coaches at the professional level in the past, all in USL. So what's up with Pablo this year?
I mean, it feels weird to think that he's the only coach in the Western Conference who's made the playoffs three straight years, and it feels like his job is on the line right from the jump. Like, it wasn't his decision, from what I understand and from what the reporting has said, it wasn't his decision to change those assistants. It was the people above him. It was Chief Soccer Officer Kurt Schmidt, and maybe who's new Chief Soccer Officer Kurt Schmidt. It should be noted that there was a change in the front office as well, and ownership. So it feels like they need to play with some urgency, and Pablo has always been at his best at getting his team to play with urgency, no matter what the tactical approach is. What the approach was last year and what worked really well was hitting big switches out of deep central midfield with Pablo Ruiz with the ball on that left foot. He was able to make the game big anytime RSL were on the ball. And in doing so, they would push those fullbacks up and they would get a ton of wide overloads. And that's where most of their chance generation came from. And it's also why they play with two forwards, because if you're creating a lot out wide and you're not playing a lot through zone 14, you're probably going to cross the ball a lot and you want multiple runners in the box. And I don't think it's the optimal style of play in the modern game, but as long as you are committed to it, and RSL have played with real commitment basically from back to front for as long as Pablo's been there, you can be successful with it. And they've mostly been successful with it. So just keep an eye on big switches and multiple runners in the box, though I suspect there's going to be a little bit of a change towards maybe keeping the ball on the ground more in 2024 than what we've seen in years past.
Yeah, my understanding is they want to make a little bit of a switch in that sense, and part of the staffing changes were to bring in guys to help change the style of play just a little bit. Star spotlight, Chicho Arango, Dave, record signing, big time goal scorer. What should we expect from him?
Efficiency, 6 goals in 11 appearances last year after coming over. And that doesn't include the League's Cup that he played in. We saw, I think, more of his soccer in this team in that he drops in a little bit. You can play into his feet. He helps create, but there was a great connection between him and Luna. I think it was his third play coming off the bench in the playoffs where Luna floats the ball to the far post and he makes the run and they're able to link up. So you talk about a player, I think similar to the conversations we've had over the last few weeks around guys like Yakumakis, who just like they, you can feel the hunger of the way they attack 50-50s, the way they attack the near post, the way they know to go float out to the far post and just he's going to grind until he gets a goal in each game. And this is a spot, unlike LAFC, where more of the game is going to run through him. And I think he's really comfortable with that. So it's really exciting because him and Pablo Ruiz didn't really play together that much, if you remember. He didn't arrive until July. Ruiz got hurt for the season in August. So they only played about two or three MLS games together before Ruiz's injury. They're probably the two best players on this team. And so now you get them both in the team at the same time.
Over under 15 and a half goals plus assists for Diego Luna, Doyle. He had eight combined in 1,200 minutes in the regular season, plus two goals in the playoffs in 270 minutes. So in about 1,500 minutes, 10 goals plus assists combined.
That's really nice work from him last year, man. I'm still going to say under. I think he'll play. We're just talking regular season, or are we talking all competitions?
Regular season.
So I think he'll play 2,000 minutes or more, but 15 and a half is a big number, so I'm going to go under.
Give me that over. I'm going to smash the over. Diego Luna's talking a big game. I'm rooting for that man, so I'm going to go over on that. And you mentioned Pablo Ruiz, Dave. He's probably the most interesting player to watch outside of the Stars. He might be the most underrated player in MLS.
He's been in that convo. I think he's out of that now because he's been so good for a couple of years and you saw his impact. It's like the Peyton Manning MVP of like, he gets hurt, your team tanks. So therefore he's super valuable.
You think it's that, or you think it's the midfield goal that finally woke people up?
Maybe. I hope it's not the second one, because that would be a dumb reason. To be clear, I've been on this show advocating for Pablo Ruiz for years and have been ignored and pushed to the
Ignored and pushed to the side.
Until the mainstream blog boys all became huge data nerd fans about him. And then Doyle gets a towel with his face on it and puts it up in his apartment. So I think he's outside of that conversation now if he's healthy and fully fit. And I think for RSL, it's a stability to have him in the team that they didn't have last year. And they brought in a bunch of center mids during the season last year, and there was a lack of continuity at any point. And I think that changes now, where you have a constant in Ruiz in there that all of these other guys can play off of.
All right, most interesting player to watch outside the Stars. You had Pablo Ruiz. I'm going to take Matty Crooks, the new signing from Middlesbrough. It's going to be more of a number 10 second forward type. Demir Krylock is the guy you immediately think about, but Crooks is 6'4". He's a big-time set-piece threat. He's both a goal scorer, but I can also play at the number eight. So, mate, welcome to MLS. Enjoy you being here. He seems to be very excited about being in Utah, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing for all Salt Lake. All right,
Middlesbrough doesn't start with a B, right?
Yeah, Burrow does.
Yeah, fair. Okay. Yeah.
So there's always like a back door to the B in the Champo. This is fine. Goss, how's it fall apart?
It falls apart the same way it fell apart last year. Post League's Cup, Chicho scored 5 goals. They only won one of those games. And so defensively, they struggled. Marcelo Silva is one of the older starting center backs in the league. And when it wasn't him, they were not strong enough. They didn't have the depth. And as good as Pablo Ruiz is, and we talked about, he doesn't cover a ton of ground and give a ton of defensive shielding to that back line. So if it falls apart for the back line and Zach McMath can't be, you know, superhuman, which he has been at times over the last few years, it doesn't feel like there's enough chance creation to take this team over the top. They are in the middle of the league on a lot of stats, which shows you like they're consistent 50-50. But if those 50-50s go against you two or three times, now you're playing from behind and you're trying to fight. So this is a team that, while they've added some pieces, they have not massively jumped besides the addition of Chicho Arango over the last 2 years in terms of talent. And so they can't overwhelm teams with that. They need to be able to get everything right.
I think center backs are the concern.
Yeah. Well, center backs and defensive midfield, as much fun as they are, they can be a little bit soft. They can be easy to play against. But to David's point, they've added some stuff. They still have 2 open DP slots. You know, this is a team that is maybe not complete in that regard.
All right, let's get to the good side of this coin here. It all goes right. What does that look like? Top 4? Home field advantage in the playoffs?
Top 4 feels high.
If it all goes right.
If it all goes right, then, Justin Glad is still only, 26 years old? So like he's just entering his or 27. He's but just
needs,
entering.
Needs a bounce back. Needs a big bounce
needs
back.
Needs a bounce back.
He was actually the weak spot in the center back pairing.
So he bounces back. Luna and Gomez, who are probably going to be the wingers, level up. Chicho is a 20-goal scorer, and Crooks does the Krylock thing, drifting off the back shoulder to score a dozen goals and add 8 assists to the back post. And it all just ends up working together in a way that, you know, for months at a time, we've seen RSL be able to do that. And let's say that we get the same thing this year, except because the foundation is better and tactically they'll maybe be able to do a little bit more with the ball, the floor gets higher for this team. So they don't have those moments where they go out and they just get smashed 4-0. You know, they're able to get points out of games where they don't necessarily have it.
8 p.m. Wednesday night, Inter Miami.
Wait, let me. Matty Crooks, you guys, two favorite signing of the offseason. 10.5 goal contributions, over, under.
Goal contributions. So we're talking goals and assists?
Over.
Yes. Over.
You guys are marks. You guys are literally getting played, but I love it.
Here's my understanding is that for the time being, Crooks is a DP, but he's like Gregory-esque in that he's tameable and will likely be tamed in the summer when another signing is made.
You mean Gregory will play for Botafogo in 6 months?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, what a life Gregory, except for the injury, had to live in Miami. Now he goes and plays in Rio for Botafogo. I should be a professional soccer player. It's so
it might want to try it out. Try it on for size. See if it works out for you, that lifestyle. All right, trophy draft time. We have decided that each of us, all three of us, will take 7 teams, and then the Anders Maria / Field will get 8. Tom Bogert, as you mentioned up the top, has been relegated to whatever the second division of the trophy draft is. He's no longer welcome in this competition. Just a statement of fact. You know what the trophies are. Of course, we count Wooden Spoon as well. Team that has the most trophies wins. It's that simple. I believe I finished last in 2023. Can anyone confirm or deny? I know that Doyle finished first because he won't stop talking about it.
I thought Tom finished last.
Well, then I was second to last. Tom doesn't exist anymore.
That would make David second.
Yes, I will get us started, and I will hedge my Miami one trophy.
Can I ask this?
Yeah, go ahead.
For the decathlon that is the ETR Awards, me finishing second in both competitions last year, that makes me the overall winner, right?
You're getting a lot of points.
Well, you finished last in predictions.
What are predictions?
Yeah, the ranking teams 1 through 14.
Is that a thing we do?
So we didn't track it, but one of our faithful listeners did.
And I finished last?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I finished first by a mile.
Did you? I thought I was right there with you.
I remember it differently.
Yeah, that's right. Well, okay. The history, well, history goes
is not
the
paying attention,
apparently.
And everything Doyle says is a lie. So I have no idea.
Doyle timed Anders' inattentiveness perfectly. He's just throwing. I won by a mile. I just crushed you guys.
So our listeners understand, Anders is never inattentive. Anders just has 4 different jobs, and he's trying to do the other 3 while also listening to us idiots blather on.
Okay, we're not doing snake on this, I don't think, right? Can we just do 1, 2, 3?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to start us off, and I'm going to hedge my Miami bet by taking Inter Miami.
That's not hedging your bet.
Wait,
that's,
but I said that we get
doubling
one
down on it.
Yeah, but I said they would only get 1.
Okay.
Yeah, terminology escapes me here. Dave, who you got?
So I'm second?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll take Columbus.
Good choice. Doyle, you're up.
Seattle.
That's what I was going to take. All right, back to me. Give me Orlando City.
Oh, wow.
Staying in Florida. Central, south, covering all your cardinal directions. Central's not a cardinal direction, but I'll self-correct. Dave, who you got?
I'm going to go positive instead of negative, and I'm going to go Vancouver.
That's very positive. I guess that's your Canadian championship.
Yeah.
All right. Doyle?
I guess I'll do... I'm going to say Atlanta.
What do you think they're most likely in for?
It wouldn't shock me if this is a supporter shield team because they have balance, they have depth now. You know, the one spot they need is like a backup left back. Like this is a good team.
I'm going to go FC Cincinnati. Speaking of good teams,
why is this not Snake? Why was that not my pick?
It wasn't. I put it out there. I said, should we go 1-2-3? Doyle said yes. You said nothing.
Yeah. I don't have feelings about draft order until I get, you know,
snaked.
My team stolen.
Yeah, until you get snaked.
Which I didn't know if that word fit because snake, it wasn't snake. Whatever. I'm going to go Philly because Herediano knocked off Toluca yesterday, which doesn't make it easy, but I think there's a road for a second ever MLS CONCACAF championship.
Wow. Love it.
Congrats, by the way, to Brandon Vasquez. Another goal for him. 4 so far with Monterrey, who move on.
Weeby, what? Where are you going to pick Monterrey in this thing? Your favorite team?
Probably top, dude. Probably top. Yeah. If I could take Monterrey, I would. Maybe we should be doing that. Maybe we should be Leagues Cup, Liga MX, and MLS teams. You're up, Doyle. Third overall pick.
Red Bulls.
Whew. Wow. Back-to-back Union and Red Bulls. History made this year, huh? I'm gonna take Toronto FC for the possible Canadian the championship pick, yeah. Wooden spoon double.
That was the team that I was between Vancouver and them.
I was trying to sit on them until at least fourth or fifth, but I thought they'd come off the board. So you're mine, Toronto. Dave, who you got?
Now it's like trying to figure out which direction to go in. Bigger,
classic
small,
guesswork.
Like, yeah, win or loss. I'm going to go with NYCFC.
Wow, I was going to assign you that. I was like, as a joke, I was going to say you were going to, in New York City is yours. What are they going to win? They're so young up top.
They are so deep and they're so talented. Like, I think we are underrating how good this team can be.
Fair.
With a little bit more stability in the spine than what we've seen over the last few years of coming into a season. Parks and Sand, Santi Rodriguez. I think Freeze can show he's a match winner in MLS, but if not, I still think he's already better right now than Barraza was at the start of last year. And I talked about Martins in their preview of like settling in as a center back. And then there are six options in the attack, which I think, okay, you could ride the hot hand of young players. I also do still think it'll elevate guys because the game gets easier for a Talis Magno. And obviously I'm high on Bakrar.
Doyle, your fourth pick.
LAFC. I just think by the time the summer transfer window closes, this team's they're going to be a playoff team, and then the summer transfer window is going to close, and they're going to have like Antoine Griezmann on that roster. Like it's going to be
that's good,
and like nobody's going to want to face.
I'm not even. I'm not laughing out of you know like oh that's absurd. Yeah, no, I'm like oh yeah that sounds fun. We should definitely encourage LAFC to do that. I will take the New England Revolution. I know that that's a cursed club, but Caleb Porter, I trust, baby.
Well, as Doyle pointed out, you want that as your keeper pick for next year.
Yeah, for sure.
Because Caleb's a year two, right? So have we taken like two Western Conference teams and all Eastern
Very
Conference teams?
Very few Western Conference
yeah.
teams.
Yeah, have been it's selected. A weird...
Vancouver and the Sounders and LAFC. So three.
Okay. I'm less out here trying to
You don't get
out.
Trophies for the Western Conference final, though.
No, so. You don't. But I'm going to go with SKC. I'm going to choose to believe everyone stays healthy and it's a year.
All right, Doyle, who you got?
Montreal.
Yeah, they needed to come off the board for Canadian championship reasons.
I thought Doyle was going to end up having to take Valor or Forge late in the draft.
Oh, boy. So each of us gets 7, and then the other 8 go to Anders and Maria/the field.
I don't know if I thought about it that way. I think I was thinking we were going to pick every team.
Yeah, I know. So there is an element of like, boy, we got 2 more picks left. How are you going to prioritize? I don't know what it is, but I'm going to take FC Dallas.
Nice.
I'm like irrationally on the Dallas San Jose bandwagon right now, and I just cannot get off.
So I don't disagree. I picked Dallas to finish 3rd last year and was disappointed the entire year. So welcome.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a really fun experience.
Where are you going here, Dave? West or East?
I'm going to go with the West. And I'm going to go with Houston.
What are you picking them for?
the boomer bust of a potential trophy push, but also like Ache's out. They don't replace Quiñones. Sviatchenko and Mikhail can't prop the entire team up and they end up in a spoon race. But I don't think that will be the case. And they have experience in knockouts. Obviously they won Open Cup. So like there's trust that if they're in a quarterfinal or semi, they know how to get it done. But there's still a little bit of a door open for a potential spoon race.
Doyle, sixth pick.
I think I'm going to go Austin.
Well, that's my pick for the spoon coming off the board at seven. I was really over-indexing, as I like to say, on spoon picks. Okay, final pick for each of us. My team so far, Inter Miami, Orlando City, FC Cincinnati, Toronto FC, New England, and FC Dallas. Yes, I am reading those off in list form to buy time.
I think you got the best group so far.
Yeah, I think so too.
Besides just Inter Miami, the fact that you snuck Cincinnati as your third pick is pretty strong.
And Toronto was a fourth pick. That's pretty fortunate.
Which is a potential Canadian championship and spoon winner.
I'm trying to find a team that I think can win things. Like I think betting on the spoon is probably a fool's errand here. Yeah. I'm going to choose to believe. I'm not believing that hard, am I? In X-Dog. Give me X-Dog. Give me Real Salt Lake. All right, Dave. Seventh and final pick.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I guess I'm going to go. I guess I'm going to go with the LA Galaxy. I think
that's
sick.
That's to win. You're going. Joseph Pantsil seems done. He's in LA, according to Tom Bogert, to finish the deal. $9 million coming over from Belgium.
I think what we've historically learned is when it goes bad with the Galaxy, it goes terrible. So I feel like I'm safe in that I'm not going to end up in an in-between spot. This team's not finishing ninth. They're either going to finish fourth in the West and push in trophies, or they're going to finish 13th in the Costa Rican second division, and like everyone's going to leave. So it feels pretty safe there.
I mean, I also like give them time. By the time Leagues Cup rolls around, that's a trophy they could go after and potentially win with the level of talent they have. And then, you know, the history of the MLS Cup is pretty good.
I was picking between two teams where I think they will most often have the best player on the field, but are not the best team.
So this is absurd of me.
I'm guessing Minnesota's the other one.
That's who I'm going to pick.
That's who I was between.
Yeah, because like they have a full year of Reynoso. They have a full year of Pookie. Ludd is healthy, and Bongi leveled up last year. And there is – I don't think they can do the shield. I don't believe in their defense or their depth quite enough.
Also, they might hire a coach in the middle of the year.
Right? But like they have that four-headed attack. They get hot for a month. They could win literally any tournament that they're in.
Yeah, that was my complete thought of like, if you look at a League's Cup bracket, if you look at whatever other knockout competitions they end up in, Reynoso will be the best player on the field every single time. And they've got a great home atmosphere. So if it's a home game, like they're going to be favorites. And that's kind of all you need.
All right.
Reynoso was 99th percentile in chance generation. And both Bongi and Pookie were 99th percentile in expected goals. Like it's just like.
Also, Bongi was 99th percentile in missed
underperformance.
Chances.
Yeah. So. And I expect him to regress to the mean this year, which actually means progressing. So,
all right, the field. Anders, Maria, congratulations. You are now rooting for St. Louis, San Jose, Portland, Colorado, Nashville, DC, Chicago, and Charlotte. They're your golden boot teams. We'll track those over the course of the season. Feel pretty decent about mine. We'll see how it goes. All right.
Oh, Weeby, you feel good about it after we told you we thought it was the best?
Exactly. Yeah, feel great now. Feel great. Weeby in New Jersey asks, what's the team with the biggest points jump this season?
Miami.
Who's going to make the leap?
It's Miami. Right?
Oh, that's, like, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Duh.
Both of these are duh, because then you're going to say biggest drop, and we're all going to say St. Louis, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, whoever made this rundown is an idiot.
Yeah. Well, no, Andrew in New Jersey's the idiot.
What a moron.
You're fine.
Yeah, this actually, I put Weeby in North Jersey in the rundown, so I didn't really give myself the escape route I needed.
Here's the question with St. Louis is how big a drop? If I say their drop is 10.5 points.
Over. I think it'd be tight, but I would take the over. I think like low mid 40s. To me, like around the 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 spot, somewhere in that zone.
But those on points are less than a 10-point drop for last year, which is, I think,
that's not true. Disproportionate. Eighth, ninth, tenth, and 11th would be more than 10.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Yeah. All right.
Fine. We're mathing.
I'll go under, but like barely. I think it'll be like 10 points.
That's a nice line off the top of your head.
I'm going to put another question out there. Do either the Galaxy, who had 36 points last year, or Colorado, who had 27 points, have more than a 20% shot at having a bigger year-over-year improvement than Miami, who had, I think, 34 points? Yeah, Miami had 34 points.
God, I don't know what to make of Colorado. I'm so
hopeful,
but... I'll
say yes on Colorado.
Could Colorado end up as like a 52-point team?
No.
But they don't have to be, right? If they were a 45-point team, that'd be an 18-point jump. Do you think Miami's going to be more than an 18-point jump?
Yeah, 18 points puts Miami at 52 on the season. I think they're
right
over a 60-point team. I wouldn't be shocked if they set the points record.
All right, let's finish with this one. Andrea in the email. MLSstore.com is where you can get your favorite jerseys. She wants to know what our favorite kit so far from the drops are. I got to say, MLS team stepped it up. They are unique. Whether you like them or hate them, you remember them. And that's all I'm asking for from a jersey. Yeah. I want to know who's playing when I watch. And I want to know you didn't mail it in with just block color.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's some really cool stuff. Minnesota and Seattle are my two favorites so far.
Yeah, you took two.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Seattle's the best. The light blue shorts, the striped top.
Stripes.
Oh, yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
I love that Sporting KC brought back the Argyle. That's iconic. They should have an Argyle kit every single year.
I got the Revs one too. I like the Revs, and I think the way the sleeves are this year, you see it in Austin's as well, sort of the block sleeves. Really, really sharp look. But we'll see them all in person once the season starts.
Philly has a good one again. Yep. Portland has a good one as well.
All right, wind with this. Jay Ross. Quote, I'm sorry, but David Goss's pronunciation of New Orleans should have him banned from Mardi Gras, banned from the city, and possibly arrested. Truly shocking stuff. He sounded like a goofy British tourist with a fanny pack on. Please, someone help him out.
Okay, I'll take it.
Fair enough. All right, Wednesday.
I'm gonna, in solidarity, I'm going to start calling it New Orleans as well, David. I'm there with you.
8 p.m. Eastern, Miami RSL season kicks off on Wednesday. 90-minute pregame show starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. You can watch that game and every single game. No blackouts, all in 1080p on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. Predictions are in, boys. Season's about to start. Enjoy. We'll see you on Thursday. Adios.